Hello, everyone. Okay, so we're going to talk about intermittent fasting. We're going to talk about hunger scale. We're going to talk about special diets. And I want to talk about it in terms of thoughts and not just tactics. Now, if you have questions, what I want you to do is I want you to put them inside the Q&A box. Kathy will be over in the main chat for you guys. But if you have anything you know you want me to answer, if you'll just put it over in Q&A, I can kind of weave it into the process. And also, I may have time at the end to do a little coaching if anybody needs coaching or just wants to come on live. So if it's about intermittent fasting, if it's about the hunger scale, and it is about special diets and you want coaching just around implementing it, that would be great. So go ahead and raise your hand. We'll see what we have time for so that all of you are here, we can do that. All right, I want to start first with the hunger scale because I want to layer all of this. I know a lot of you want to skip it and you're like, no, I want to go into the intermittent fasting. I want to start doing like no sugar, no flour. I want to start doing these harder things. No matter what you do, you have to learn how to use your hunger scale. Using your hunger scale is what triggers you to pay attention to how much you're eating and being present with the food. That is, I mean, I know you guys very often you get tripped up on, am I at my two? And like, kind of get into the minutiae. And then you get into, like, if you go to a three, you immediately think you're never going to get it. You start going into all this bullshit. The hunger scale's like real reason for existence, other than to give you a way to eat only when you're hungry and stop when you're satisfied so that you have a natural gauge throughout the process. The real purpose of the hunger scale is to get you from just shoveling it in, which a lot of us do, or mindlessly eating, not really paying attention and just cleaning our plate just because it's there, or thinking we're hungry when we're not really hungry, or it also is a really good gauge for just getting used to having to think about the food. I mean, that's really what it's all about. It is to get us out of eating by the clock. It's like, well, you know, it's like 3 o'clock and we end up having a snack because we planned it, but our stomach is like, no, bitch, I can just go. Like, I've got another 2 to 3 hours in me, but your brain doesn't. Your brain's like, well, it's been a long day and you've worked really hard and, you know, it's just time to take a little break. We just need to like relax for a minute. That is why we do the hunger scale. So intermittent fasting, it's good. And no sugar, no flour and special diets and stuff, they're fine. I'm going to talk all about those in a minute. But if none of that's cleaned up, those are the like what I would call the next level up kind of things that you're going to do that won't work if you're not already doing the spirit of the law with the hunger scale. So it's, and plus I think with the hunger scale, one of the beautiful things that it does is it gets you used to waiting for hunger. Whereas if you're just jumping straight into some like intermittent fasting, you're not used to waiting for hunger. It's like all of a sudden you're going to hear all the chatter all the time. What I like about the hunger scale is it kind of sneaks up on chatter so we can start hearing it on a more subtle level without it just being like, oh my God, it's going to be 12 hours before we eat. You know, like it's like, do we want to have like the tantrum experience? Or do we want to be like, I need to see if it's time to eat. Is it time to eat? You're still going to feel antsy and stuff, guys. And you're still going to have fuck it moments. You're still going to get to have all of that with the hunger scale. But it just seems like if you start with the intermittent fasting and stuff like that, once the initial like, woohoo, I'm doing something new wears off, oh my gosh, you're straight into a lot of louder talk very often. All right, let me get the right, I don't have my, there we go. I just need to get the right mic on. All right, so with the hunger scale, here's what I want you to take away from it. We want to be using it first. It is the first like tool in our tool belt for understanding hunger. It changes with time. So for those of you who start off with 2 to 2, like a lot of you that, especially those girls you come in, if you've got a lot of weight to lose,
you probably aren't even eating 2 to 2. It will feel like 2 to 2, probably not 2 to 2. It is just such a different volume of what you're used to eating that you can lose a lot of weight. So then what will happen is you'll like a lot. I see this happen very often, happened with myself. When I started at 250, I got to about the like 210 mark and hit a major stall. And I really had to evaluate the amount of food I was eating. It worked up until that point, but I was still eating like someone 250, just better. And what I needed to do was, I was like, now I'm 210 and I've got to eat like somebody who wants to get to 190, 180, which is different. And this is, I think, one of the things that trips a lot of people up on the way down when we come to stalls and plateaus, especially using the hunger scale, is the most insidious thought of all. But it's so much better than it used to be. It's like, yeah, I used to be face down in a carton of ice cream every night. Eating the large bowl every night is so much better than it used to be. But at some point, the shit don't work no more. Time to go to the portion size or a smaller bowl. Like that is the things we have to watch out for. And that's what the hunger scale does for you. Because, you know, when you start making changes, if you're going to be really consistent with questioning your food, like, am I truly hungry? Then what happens is you'll notice your hunger scale will change. There will be times you'll catch yourself where you get mad. Like, oh my gosh, now I eat so much little. It's like, yeah, welcome to what most people eat who don't obsess about food, who don't use food emotionally. All right, so next comes our intermittent fasting. This is the one that you guys always are so curious about and want to know all the questions and all this kind of stuff. So let's start with, we all intermittent fast already. So a lot of you are like, oh no, we're not doing that. That's so restrictive. That's like diet mentality. That's some kind of cult bullshit. Not really. If you go to sleep at night, you are now an intermittent faster. All it means is you need to pick a time to which you will not be eating. The more space that you can get used to allowing your body to use its own resources, rather than eating all the time and giving it food to supply its energy, the more it learns how to burn the fat that you store on your body. A lot of people will ask, well, oh my God, Corinne, like I was told I'm supposed to eat 6 times a day to keep my metabolism going. Old effing science. Old. Methuselah. Like, get your hammer pants out. Like this is not even hammer, hell. It's like, get your, I don't know, kid and play. Like get out your 90s gear because that is what that's all about. Like we do not need to eat 6 times a day anymore. Girls, I understand. I used to teach it in the early days of PNP. Like, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that's what I taught. Science has come along and uncovered new developments for us. And we need to embrace, like, it's all fine and good if you want to eat according to old science. It's not working anymore. But, and this is what I tell people all the time is like, look at all of us. We were told by protein shake companies and snack companies to eat 6 times a day. Their bottom line was the motive, not our metabolisms. You can find a study to support any bullshit you want. So I'm a big proponent of intermittent fasting. I happen to like it for several reasons. Once I'm really dialed into the hunger scale, including a little intermittent fasting is not nearly as painful as what you think it will be like. Usually once you just do it, you're like, oh, well, it actually wasn't as hard as I thought. It's the fear leading up to it. It's the worry. It's the thoughts. It's all the things. So let me tell you some different versions. There is just the one where you just go to sleep at night. If you will just not eat right before you go to bed, and then you get up in the morning, get ready for work, then eat, you've done what's called, there's one called the circadian rhythm fast. This is just basically, I am resting my stomach overnight. So if you stop eating at say 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and you don't eat breakfast until 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, that is a 12-hour fast. That is allowing your stomach time to go to work on what it's going to do. It helps reset hormones. So in your belly, now y'all, nobody laugh, because I'm fixing to talk the science. And I always, one of the things I love about talking the science is I am the least science person on the face of the earth. And yet I always have to come up with a little science for you guys. And then I'll have somebody who's like actually a doctor or, you know, in the field, and we'll say, you do pretty good, Corinne. You may not be able to pronounce the words, but you get the gist of it. So I may jack some words, but I get the gist of it. All right. So your stomach has all kinds of little hormones in there that, like, your brain is kicking stuff off. Everybody's working together to make sure that we're meant to be a fat burner. We're not meant to be carb burners. What that simply means is that if you look back in the, I don't even like going all the way back to caveman day, even though caveman day is where it all started. Let's just go back 100 years. Like when my granny was, you know, like in her like teens, in her like 10-year-old land, she worked a farm. Her daddy owned a 100-hand farm, and they had 9 kids, and his wife had to make the food for all the hands and all the kids every single day on a wood stove. Now, I effing promise you that my granny would tell me this story all the time about how her and her mama would get up at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m., and they would start cooking earlier in the summer because it was so smoking hot in North Alabama. And they would cook all morning long. Then everybody would eat breakfast around 10 o'clock because it was so hot in the middle part of the day. That is about when most people would eat, and they would take a small break, and then they would get back to work and through the heat. That was when they needed the food for the energy. And they worked in the morning because it was so smoking hot during the day, they wanted to get the bulk of the heavy labor that they could done during that part of the day. And so they would cook for all these people, and nobody was snacking. Nobody needed a protein bar. Nobody needed a, like, well, I'm, you know, it's so hot and I feel terrible about my day ahead of me. I should eat something. That did not happen, or you got fired. So then they would eat, and then my grandmother and her mother would go to work on cooking for everyone, because before they left every day, they got a meal that was all part of working there. So they would eat around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then that was it. That's what you did back then. People just didn't sit around snacking. You had water and you had work. Nobody had to go work out. Nobody had to like think extra hard about it. That was just how people rolled. Nowadays, we think it's crazy if we are going to wait until we're hungry to eat mindfully. You know, God forbid we don't do it with our phone, and then wait until another time to eat when we're hungry. So I just want you guys to like really consider how much of what you think about food is about what you've been told about food. It's not what actually is. So if you can just think about, when it comes to intermittent fasting, to just be the open book, and about food in general, just question your beliefs. It really helps you start being willing to do what I call just experimentation, experimenting with your hunger scale. So like this week, we are all doing the on the clock challenge, where when you start thinking you're hungry, you drink water at 16 ounces and you go on the clock and you wait an hour to see what happens. Because with the hunger scale, what you find is that you may have been at a -2, but once you're hydrated and once you have drank your water and you have gotten out of the focus of am I hungry or not stage, your body may tap into its own natural fat stores. So what happens is when you do intermittent fasting and you have breaks from eating, it allows the ghrelin and the leptin and the insulin of your body that all work together to like either say, I'm hungry, I'm satisfied, I need food, all those things. It lets them get back to normal levels. A lot of us, our hormones are a little out of whack because we've kind of ate junk for so long. All right. So the first one, I just like to call this circadian rhythm fast. It's what most of us do. Like, it's like, if you eat dinner at 8 p.m., eat breakfast at 8 a.m. There you go. Easy. All right. The next one is the one that I actually do most of the time. Now, I almost always do at least a circadian rhythm fast. I rarely, I probably never eat within 12 hours overnight. I just am not the kind of person that wakes up hungry. I always drink some water first thing in the morning. I drink my coffee and then I'm good for a while. The next one is called the 16-8, which is pretty much what I do. So I cut food off like at dinner, and then 16 hours later is about the time I start eating again. And then I just eat when I'm hungry during that 8-hour window, and then I stop. So most days you're going to see, like today's a little different because I haven't had dinner yet because I'm doing this call with you. Most days I eat dinner around 6, and then I usually will eat my first meal of the day around 10 o'clock in the morning. That gets me through waking up, drinking my water. I usually do a good hour of journaling and stuff, and I either will work out or I work for, like, I'll work for 2 hours or I'll work out for an hour, shower, and then work for 2 hours, and then it's about time to eat. That's how I like to do things. I find it in the mornings, my brain power is so much better when I'm relying on my own fat stores and not relying on food to give me energy. So you can also do, sometimes people like to do what's called a 24. So you've got the 16 hours of not eating, 8 hours of eating, or you can do 20 hours of not eating. And some people like to eat just in a 4-hour window. I particularly don't. My husband does that sometimes. He just, when he's lost interest with food, I'm like, what? But a lot of people like it, especially if they're in jobs that are really busy, that have like very detailed times as to when they can eat. So if you do that one, you're really going to eat a meal at the break of your fast, and then you're going to eat a pretty hearty one 4 hours later. It is not as you don't really use the hunger scale as I teach it on that one. You're basically just eating two solid meals, and then you don't eat again for 20 hours. The last one, Judy Cunningham does 24. So she can probably in the chat give you guys more information on it. It does not work for me. I will tell you, 12 and the 16-8 are the only two that I've ever found that work consistently for me. I don't know why, but I do have low blood pressure. And whenever I've tried to do any other kind of fasting, my blood pressure does not love it. So it's like, I notice I'm dizzy more often and stuff. So I particularly don't love it. But that the important part is it's all about testing. It's all about seeing what works for you. It's either going to work or it's not. Then we have one where you can do like a 24-hour fast. Now, I just want to say, this is my personal opinion. This is not backed by science. This is not anything other than I don't particularly like them. I don't mind if you want to do one every now and then just to see what it's like. Or let's say like maybe every 2 to 3 weeks you want to do one for whatever reason. I want you to question why you're doing it. I want to make sure you're doing it because it makes you feel good, whatever that is. I do not want you guys doing it because you think it's the only way to lose weight. You need drastic things in order to lose weight. I want you watching for your mentality around why you do this stuff. If your mentality creates a little fear, a little anxiety, scared, just desperateness, whatever, then we're not doing it for a good reason. And we need to work more on your mindset around your weight loss than we need to be busting out tactics. That is for all of it. All of it, guys. We always want to be watching out for your mindset. And so sometimes the way that I have done 24-hour fasts, I'm sorry, guys. If y'all are wondering why I have no makeup on today, it's fresh face day for 2 days because I am having a photo shoot on Thursday morning and I'm just letting the face breathe. I'm putting all the hydrations and everything on it right now. So I'm just trying to keep it well hydrated and stuff and no makeup. So you have the 24. The easiest way to do it is eat lunch, skip dinner, just get up, skip breakfast like I would normally do, and then eat lunch. That to me has been the easiest one I've ever done. And I pick days where I know I'm going to have a lot to do. So I'm not just going to be sitting around thinking about my fast. Like what I've done in the past is I've picked Wednesdays because if y'all don't know, on Wednesdays, I have a lot of calls. Like I do my Facebook Live, I do coaching with you guys, I do team calls, like I do all the calls on Wednesdays. So it doesn't even, like I will eat lunch on Tuesday and then I don't eat again until, you know, whenever it's over with on Wednesday, on Tuesday to Wednesday, because the mornings are so busy for me on that day. So it's a lot easier for me to just go. So I may eat my last meal on Tuesday, like at like 1:30 or 2, because I know my Wednesday will be so jam packed. And then all I have to do is just skip dinner on Tuesday. So those are the fasts. I do not recommend anything more than that. I have read all kinds of Hoonanny on the internet. I don't think that they're safe. I think that they end up, I would just tell you, for every person I've ever known personally who has done more than 24-hour fasting, they have opened their brain up to a lot of crap thoughts around food. I think you just run the risk of, I just don't even think the reward is worth the risk of it. The main reason I say that, and I guys, I'm a big believer in thought work, is you're all here because we all need to get our mind right around food and right around our body and stuff. The last thing that we need to do is a lot of like stuff that is a breeding ground to create crazy ass thoughts. So that's the main stuff about intermittent fasting. Then we have things like special diets, no sugar, no flour, vegan, high protein, high fat, like all the different things, right? I am not going to go into the specifics of all kinds of diets. What I really want to talk about is when do you do it? Like, when is it where it's like, okay, I've really been trying, Corinne, and I really think I'm somebody that's going to need to do a special diet. This is my opinion. You do the four basics first. You need to get really good at the realistic plan and stuff. The mistake I see most people make is they start doing intermittent fasting and they start doing no sugar, no flour, and they start these whole 30s and things from a mindset of, if I do something stricter with more rules, I am more likely to stick with it. That's not going to work. If you can't do something that is simple and basic, making it harder is not what's going to produce the result. This is what happens. If you do no sugar, no flour, you do something and you do end up getting good results, it is because of what you're going to think about it. It won't be that doing it. A lot of us think it's, well, it's the stricter ones that work for me, or it's the special diets that work for me. I want all of you to remember, whether it's the hunger scale or the whole 30, it does not matter. It's what you think about it is what's going to make you do things. So your thoughts will cause the feelings of commitment, will cause the feelings of willingness, dedication, excitement, motivation. All of that is always going to come because of what you decide to think about it. If you're doing it from a place of like, I've seen so many of you start and fail on no sugar, no flour because you do it and you think, well, nothing else has worked. And that feels defeating. So you force yourself into doing this. Guys, we have to quit forcing ourselves into doing things. So now if you do it and you think, I'm willing to try and never give up, that produces a very different feeling. Like that, this is when you, whenever you're starting a new tactic, like a special diet, I want you to ask yourself, why? Why am I doing it? What is the thought that I have, the belief I have about what I'm doing now and why I think this is going to be better? Now, for a lot of you, I think when it comes to no sugar, no flour, who, especially those of you who, you feel like shit physically. I'm not just talking about the emotional side, but like you legit feel like shit. So your joints hurt, you've got gastro problems out the wazoo, your energy levels are all over the place, you have uncontrollable cravings, all the things are going on, right? And you're like, man, this feels so bad. I really want to feel better. For those of you who are like truly ready to prioritize feeling better, that's when I think it's time to like look at a special diet. It's like, you know, I need something. I need to see if I can just physically feel better. I sometimes liken it to mortality motivation. So I want you guys to think about if you were, let's say that you're a smoker and your doctor says, we see preliminary lung cancer. Now, if you stop smoking, we can take care of it and it'll never come back. But I'm just going to tell you, if you keep smoking, within a year, you'll be dead. Most people who swear to God they're addicted, who can't stop, like have all the thoughts that the same ones that we have around food. I need it. I don't know how to handle my life without it, whatever it is, right? Something will come along and create an external change of like, holy shit, like they're telling me this. So now the thought is, there's no way in hell I'm going to smoke. This shit's going to kill me. Like, suddenly their life becomes super important. I always talk about this at camp. Change happens one of two ways in life. Always. You have something externally comes in and changes your life. You're introduced to like PNP, the hunger scale and all the things. And that helps you start thinking in a whole new way. And then sometimes you'll have an internal change where something inside of you shifts. So for a lot of you, when it comes to no sugar, no flour, and it comes to the special diets, you hit your rock bottom on just how terrible you feel. That is what happened to me. I didn't have to do no sugar, no flour and stuff, but I had an internal shift. I had my moment of like, I'm so fucking tired of feeling this way. Like I physically and emotionally was done with myself. I was willing to do things unlike I'd ever done them before. And that was me. I was like, I'm going to figure it out and I have to do things that I know I can keep on going with. And that for me opened the door up to the small changes. That for me opened it up to like identifying when I was hungry, cutting out my bullshit eating, examining the quality of foods I started putting in, being willing to try things that I never thought I would eat before and in ways that I never thought I would eat. You could blow me over with a feather. Like if that girl on the couch had any idea that I just basically eat 2 to 3 times a day, work out, don't eat ice cream every day, she would say like, you're insane. That is not me. She could have seen me like being healthier. She wasn't able to like put herself in these shoes. What I want for all of you is no matter where you're at, I want you to think about why are you making like, you know, why are you using these things? Always examine that piece first before you start any of them. You need to be really solid with your reason. And if you're unsure if it's a good reason, that is an excellent time to say like, I'm getting ready to start this. I journaled about why I'm choosing this and be really honest and take it to ask coaches. Let them help you see any kind of potential booby traps or anything that are sitting there. There may be none. Maybe none. Do some models. That's what module 4 of No BS is all about. Those models help you see super clear what you're thinking and if it's going to align with who you end up wanting to be. And then I think the other thing is like, it's not just asking about why you're doing all of it, but it's like really just understanding the idea of you have to start where you're at. You can't expect yourself to be the version of you you'll end up being. One, most of you don't know who she is. You don't have a clue. We can take guesses on the goal weight. We can take guesses on how we think and all this other kind of stuff. But it's all just the story we're going to create in our head anyway. What I want you to do is like say, whoever I end up being, the one that finally solves all of this, she knows that like she can't even tell me everything that's going to get me there. She really can only tell me what's going to be the next few steps because it's all this brain can even wrap its mind around. I promise you, if I could go back to the girl on the couch, I would never tell her. Like, I would not tell her who we ended up being. I think it would have scared her. She was not ready to hear all of it. But I could tell her, you know, the best thing you did, you got started. and you stopped thinking that you couldn't do it. You started thinking, what are you going to do? What are the things you're willing to commit to? And I just tell her, that is like literally all it ever took. And that's about it. I might tell her, when you go to the gym, it won't be long and you'll be walking more than 15 minutes. I'm just saying. I probably would tell her too. It won't be long. And you know how you're going to eat that carton of ice cream every night? We're going to put it in a huge bowl, hint, hint. That's about it. And just tell her, that's how we got here. That is the only steps she needed to know. She didn't need to know all of them. She needed to know those, because those steps were the very ones that were going to help her feel good, feel like she's doing something for herself, stop practicing self-judgment, and start learning how to redirect her brain. The fundamentals of everything that helped me lose all of my weight all started with those first few steps. But most of you will not stop beating yourself up enough to do your first few steps. So I think it's just like, think about like the hunger scale, the intermittent fasting, the special diets. Like, we have a whole group for special diets with people who know the ins and outs of all of them. I will tell you, a special diet or intermittent fasting is not what causes weight loss. Ever. Ever. Do you know what those are? Actions on the action line. Hunger scale is actions on the action line. None of them result in weight loss. It's always what you're thinking and feeling about them. Like, you might need to think, in order to eat 2 to 2, your thought must be, and I will love myself through this process. Beating myself up over anything that happens, never an option. And when that happens and you feel compassion for yourself, it's a lot easier to be testing the hunger scale. Your action will be testing the hunger scale, testing intermittent fasting, testing special diets. And your result will be, start finding things that work and what don't work compassionately. That's the model I want for all of you. All right, so we have a couple of questions. If I have coffee with creamer and MCT oil, is it breaking the fast if I put a packet of Splenda? No, because I put 4 in mine. I'll tell you, it doesn't break it. Now, there are some people that if you're very sensitive to, there are, I will say this, science-wise, it can break the fast if you're insulin sensitive, even to the faux sugars. I have not been insulin sensitive to it. So I have played with it long enough to know that, like, I can have things that have Splenda in it and it not bother me. Like, and here's how you know. If it makes you hungry, that means that your body is having the same response as if you had sugar. So, like, if you eat things that, like, let's say you have your coffee with some Splenda, and within an hour, and you've put, you know, your MCT oil and stuff in there, within an hour, you're hungry, more than likely the Splenda is causing you to be hungry because your stomach thinks it was supposed to get the sugar. For me, it doesn't work that way, but not everybody's that way. It's like there are, like, Kathy, fake sugars make her hungry. They don't make me hungry at all. Can eat them all. I can just, like, pour, like, I always joke around with Chris. We used to listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me at the club, and I would always sing it with Splenda because it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I can drink it. Like, I love Diet Dr. Pepper. I usually drink one every few days. I can drink one, doesn't bother me at all. So it just depends. Does having the MCT oil fat break the fast? No. So what happens is, the fast in the morning, if you just use fat, and I like put collagen in my coffee, if you just use a little bit of collagen because it's got protein in it, it won't break the fast. Fat doesn't break the fast, but protein and sugar or carbs will. So that at that point, you've broken your fast. That's not a bad thing though, guys. It's not like you've got to go 16 hours. It's just, you know, you're just like, I like the coffee for other reasons. It's not for the fasting part. It's not so I can not eat for a while. When I drink that fat coffee in the morning, oh my God, y'all, I get so much done. You ask anybody on the team, between the little pitter patter of my feet hitting the ground until about 1 o'clock every day, I can outwork anyone. Like I can get so much done and my brain runs like crazy. 1 o'clock, the wheels come flying off my bus. They're like, that's my trough period. I've been doing a lot of research for the time management course, the mastering time course, and just reading some books and stuff. And like, I'm literally the kind of person that between 1 and 4, I should not be responsible for anything. Like P&P should be taken over by someone else. I do very low level work, if any work during that time. Most of the time what I do is I work from about 5 in the morning. Because even what I consider my workouts work because I'm always listening to self-development. Half the time I'm filming y'all's weekend motivators on it. But a lot of times I consider that even the work because I'm always like coming up with new content during that time. So like from 5 until 1, I get it done. And then a lot of times I take a break at 11. Usually between 10 and 11, I'll eat something because I'm starting to get hungry then because I've worked out in the morning. And then I take a break and then I usually do another sleigh session from 4 to 7 every night. And I get a lot done during that time. And then I'll eat like we'll take a quick dinner in the middle of it. It works for us. So I hope that helps. But I want to talk about it this way. If you notice, like my shit is not the same every single day. If I'm hungry, I just honor my body. I'm not going to be like, well, I'm not eating. It's like, and I don't sit there and do it because I can't stand to be hungry. It's like, I got shit to do. I'm going to eat a small, healthy meal and be fine with it. Sometimes when I talk to you guys about sometimes that like breaks my 24-hour plan, sometimes it does. I just write about it. I don't judge myself over it. It's like the other day I was so hungry at 8 o'clock at night. I had ate my dinner like at 4 and it was either lay there, which I could have, and then went on to bed, or I could have some fruit. I was just like, I'm having fruit. I did not beat myself up over having fruit. But I also told myself, this is also not a habit. This is like, I made sure to tell myself the things that I want to be thinking. And the next day I wrote all about it. I was very honest. I was very real. I just don't believe in a lot of judging of self, if y'all can't tell. But I just honor like what my body says. I don't think any of us are going to do it wrong if we're listening to our body. Intermittent fasting and forcing myself to eat within a certain window seems just like another diet rule. It's not a diet. Let me just tell you, they're all diet rules. Going to McDonald's every time you're stressed, that's a diet rule you created. Stress equals McDonald's. This is the thing. I just want you guys to watch and question everything. You're saying that you're forcing yourself. What if you just weren't forcing? What if it was called intermittent fasting and choosing to eat within a certain window sounds very different. You don't have to force yourself into anything. You get to choose to do it or you don't, but nobody makes you. So watch how you talk about it. Following my hunger scale, sometimes I'll have a 16-hour window before my stomach growls, but other days it's only 12 or 14, so I just follow my body's lead. That's okay. Is that okay? Yeah, that's perfectly fine. It's exactly what I've been talking about. But I want you to watch how you're talking about it. This is why I tell you guys to question everything you believe, how you think about it, and why you're doing it. Like you think, well, if I was to wait to 16 hours, I'd be forcing myself into it. The only reason why you'd be forcing yourself is because you don't think you have a choice. I have to do it. I should do it. No, you don't have to. You don't should anything. You're either going to do it or you're not. You could easily choose to wait. You can either eat because your stomach's growling, or you could also easily just say like, you know what? I choose to wait. Let my stomach growl. Either way is fine. It's what you're thinking is what I don't like. I'd rather you wait for 16 because you choose rather than eating at 12 because you think that if you wait to 16, it's a forced diet rule. There's no diet rules. There's none. That is self-imposed thoughts that are creating a scarcity around all of it for you. This is what I want to clear up for all of you. I don't want any of us thinking that there's, I just want us all to just be like open to it all. And I'm open to what anybody else is doing. And I'm in my lane and I'm figuring me out. And that's the way I roll. And if you're going to eat at 12 or 16 hours because your stomach growls, you say it's because I choose to. Not because you're afraid you're forcing yourself into something. I'm still working on my 4 basics, but I found out that I have high cholesterol and Hashimoto's. Are there some modules that would help with either of these things? No, I don't have specific modules on those, Kimberly, but I would get into the special diets group. You're likely going to need to eat some, like you're going to practice the four basics, but part of your like protocol, like what you're going to put on your plan, probably needs to start changing to address your Hashimoto's and your cholesterol. And over in the special diet groups, everybody over there is super knowledgeable about that. Can you talk about exceptions with special diets? I do no sugar, no flour, and I struggle with exceptions because I don't want to feel bad afterwards. Yeah, like I need to know, Anonymous, do you mean feel bad mentally or physically? Can you just type that into the Q&A and then I'll answer it. I need help dialing into my hunger scale. Can you suggest signs you or know what people feel when to eat and stop? Natalie, this is a great question to actually post in the Facebook group because there are, like, I like to think about the hunger scale signals as like thumbprints or like your fingerprints. There are so many. And like not everybody has the same ones. So for me, I don't have a lot of stomach growls. I just never have been a big tummy growler. Like literally, guys, the days where I have to, like where I'm out and I'm busy and I end up choosing to just skip a couple meals, like very often I'll have days where I wake up in the morning and I want to get my journaling done and I need to finish a project and then I've got some appointments outside the house. I will choose to wait to eat until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't have time and I choose not to eat out. Not because I can't handle it or anything like that. I just like my food. Seriously, I have my Aunt JJ food, which is my sister-in-law who cooks for us. I pay her to cook for us. She cooks like the bomb. I'd rather have Aunt JJ food than anything. So I don't want to stop at like a Panera or someplace and eat on the run and stuff. I want to eat at home. So I gladly trade being hungry. It takes that much for me to ever get a stomach growl. But what I do notice is I will get really flat and I will suddenly, it's like all my energy is going down. I get really like, and I don't mean just tired, like, oh, I'm bored. I mean, I can't think. I start getting foggy headed. Like I notice it's harder to focus. I'm starting to want to fiddle fart with things I shouldn't be fiddle fart. Like I'm having a hard time sticking to my plan for the day when it comes to my work. That's when I know, oh, it's probably time to eat. And then I will eat something and I will feel so much better with clear energy. And I'm good to go for 2 to 3 more hours before I hit my trough period, which is where I usually take a quick nap. I read, like I will lay out some, I will do something like, and I get it. I work from home, guys. I know I'm blessed, but I also work 7 days a week, 365. Like when you see me working on Christmas, that's when you're like, oh yeah, she gets that nap every day. So I just want to say it's like that afternoon spot. I can tell like the difference between being tired and like not wanting to work and wanting to avoid and being like foggy headed and not clear. So there's just all kinds of different signals. The biggest thing though, that what I would do is make sure that in your No BS workbook, I think we have a worksheet where you're going to write as many signals as you can down. But if you post in the Facebook group, say like, I'm wondering if we could just do, everybody could just tell me what are your common hunger signals. I was on the call with Corinne. She told me to come over here where we could all share our hunger signals and see what people experience. And then that way you can like read them and be like, oh yeah, I experienced that one. Okay. So for my no sugar, no flour rule, can you talk about exceptions with special diets? I do no sugar, no flour, and I struggle with exceptions because I don't want to feel bad after. I feel bad physically. If I eat sugar and flour, now I'll start to feel sick afterwards. Yeah, so you got to decide if you're going to eat sugar and flour as your exception. You could eat nachos, just saying. You could eat like French fries and a big ass cheeseburger with no bread, just saying. As you can tell, I like savory. I'm not a dessert person. And so if I felt bad physically, then I would be like, this is not an exception anymore. This is not even like, you know, the idea of the exception is to plan food you don't regularly eat, but that you also enjoy, that you want to have. And part of enjoying is actually not suffering the repercussions of it giving you colon blow afterward. The price you have just found, the currency for having that taste in your mouth isn't worth ass vomit. So if that's the case, then all you need to do is just be like, I just need to come up with other ideas for exceptions. I need to come up with other things that are now probably the new definition of exception. And the reason why I asked this question, and I'm glad you answered the way you did, is that what I also understand is that for a lot of people, they will say, I struggle with exceptions because I don't want to feel bad afterwards, because they will eat an exception meal and then they will beat themselves up over it. They will start going into judging themselves as if they've done something wrong. When if you're planning exceptions, even when you're on, I don't care if you are doing like hunger scale stuff, if you're doing no sugar, no flour, whatever it is, if you're planning those exceptions, you're not doing it wrong. The problem is when we're having exception foods on a whim, doing whatever the hell we want, like saying, you know, F it, whatever. So those are some of the things to think about. Okay, I'm going to call on Beth, and then I think we're getting out of here because there are no questions, no more questions. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do my lip mask, y'all. It's like my lips are getting dry. Hey, Beth, did you mean to raise your hand? Hello? I don't think she did. This happens very often in these calls. Some people will sit on their phone that's in their back pocket or something, and their hand will go up. They didn't mean to call. All right. I think there's one. I have just put up a post in the tribe. Awesome, Carmen. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, guys. That's all we got for tonight. I hope you guys loved the whole Gift of Fat challenge. I want to wrap it up by saying this. This does not have to be just a birthday wish to Corinne. This month can be done at any time. The things that I taught you, all we really did is we all decided. What's funny is so many of you, she said, sorry, my butt did raise my hand. So many of you were able to surprise yourself this month. You were able to lose more weight this month. You were able to get off your ass this month for one reason. It wasn't because of this challenge, and it wasn't because it was my birthday. It was because you had these thoughts of, I'm going to do this. You set a goal and you got focused and you went for it. That's all it ever takes. And it doesn't take feeling excited all month, and it doesn't take new challenges and all this other stuff. What it does is it takes you asking yourself each week, how am I going to challenge myself? And I want to say this because this was my big birthday like bash and everything. I think I was actually thinking about this morning when I was, you know, when I tell you guys, I go on these walk runs and walks and stuff, and I do a lot of work. I also do a lot of thinking. A lot of times I will turn on like music that has no like words, and I just think on my journey, and I think about y'all, and I try to think about things that I want you guys to know. And I was sitting there, and one of the things that dawned on me, which it always does, but it dawned on me in a new way, was I didn't have anything when I lost my weight. Not to say this as a martyr, but I want you to know that like I had to every week think about what I wanted for myself. When I would hit stalls, I had to figure out how to come up with something unique and to challenge me. Like I was always trying to figure out, like I would put my brain to work on how I was going to do this. And then when my brain wanted to beat myself up, and when my brain wanted to shit on myself or doubt myself or think that because of the way I was raised, when it wanted to tell its old stories, I didn't have a model. I didn't have any of that stuff back then. You know what I had? Common sense. Common sense said, shit, beating yourself up probably isn't going to help you lose weight. Shit. Thinking about all the ways it doesn't work. What is that solving? I would just think those things. That's why I teach you these things. And I say all this because I think so often you guys are waiting for, Corinne, when are you going to do a challenge? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? It's like, quit waiting on me. You have all you need in this tribe. This Gift of Fat challenge, your brain can redo it whenever it's ready. It's all self-paced. When you want to love yourself more, you do not need to wait on us to do the Self-Love Month course. you need to just decide it's time for me. Like, I want you guys to start thinking about that. I didn't have these tools. I didn't have a tribe. I didn't have all that you have. And yet I was able to figure it out. And I probably was able to figure it out simply because I just got out of my own way. And for you, I want you to think, if I will work harder on getting out of my own way, putting all of this stuff into play, oh my God, I've got like everything I need. I've got somebody telling me what thoughts to look out for. She's already given me the blueprint of the hunger scale. Hell, I got people who actually give a fuck about me. If I want an accountability partner or a group, I got like 5,500 people to pick from. Like, I want you guys to be thinking about like all that you have and get out of thinking you can't do it. And for all of you who killed it this month, keep going. You don't need another gift of fat month to keep the momentum going. You do not need to think you're going to lose momentum or that you're going to lose motivation or that something drastic is changing and it's going to make it harder next month. It's not. I invite all of you that were successful this month, all of you, and I mean if you did things differently than you've been doing, it doesn't mean you had to meet your weight loss goal. If you had to pick the top three things you thought, like, you know, on a consistent basis, these were the three things I kept thinking. That is all you need for next month and the month after that and the month after that. That's literally it. So if y'all want to give me a final birthday present, a surprise present, Carmen might even be willing to do it since she's my girl. By the way, I hope you're feeling better. It just dawned on me. You've been in the hospital and stuff. Post in the tribe. And everybody who had success, I want you guys to say, like, you know, the three things I thought most this month were, I think this really helped me. This really helped me, and maybe it will help you. And I want you to encourage our girls that are having a hard time thinking these things to say, and if you're having a hard time, maybe one of my thoughts will work for you. Ask me, like, our girls that didn't do as well this month, let them, like, encourage them to ask you how you can help them. What could you share with them? That would be the best gift ever. Okay, that's all I got for tonight, guys. I hope you have an amazing rest of July. We only have, what, 1 or 2 days left. The coaches and I are all, I do want to make a quick announcement. Let me just stop. This is just for the month of July 2019. So if you're watching this replay, you're going to miss nothing. The coaches and I are going to Vegas this weekend. So the Wednesday public live this week is going to be the tribe Q&A. So even though all the public is going to be there, it's at 8:30 on Wednesday versus what I normally do, which is the 9 o'clock on Thursday. On Thursday, I'm so humbled. I'm doing a photo shoot with my husband to use for like materials and stuff. So it's the first introduction of the King as being a part of the team. So I'm super excited. I almost could cry, but I'm not going to cry tonight. So Wednesday Q&A, what I want you guys to do is when you ask your question, please use hashtag PNP tribe. We are going to try to go through as many PNP tribe questions as possible. We are prioritizing you guys over the public. Like, if you want to get my attention, then join the fucking tribe. How about that? So your Q&A will actually be Wednesday at 8:30 in the morning. The coaching on this Wednesday at noon will actually be with Kathy. It was on the calendar with me, but I thought I was flying out later in the day. And Chris was like, you know, we're getting on the plane at 12. I was like, what? So it's going to be with Kathy. That was my fault. I'm so sorry. That was my mistake. And then we're going to have no calls until we all get back into Nashville next Monday. So I fly home on Sunday and everything picks back up as usual on Monday. All right. Y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.